Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Has your New Year started out good?
Yes,
yes, amen. How about you football fans? Is your New Year... Okay, I'm sorry about that. Let's pray for the Cowboy fans that are going to be disappointed today. No, just kidding. Well, welcome to Family Church. My name is JR, and I have the privilege and the honor of being the pastor of these amazing people. And so with a round of applause, come on, let's welcome our guests. If you're a guest with us today, and those of you who call this home, we're glad you're here today. We're going to start the new year off following God. How many of you know that's a good thing to do? You know, I've been praying about 2015 now for some time, and seeking the Lord on where He would have us to go the first quarter of the year. And it was somewhere around October where God began to talk to me about preparing ourselves for what He has in store for 2015. Now, I don't know if you're new to Bible study, there's different things that we use to kind of to interpret the Bible and to try to hear what God is saying to us. One of the things that I've taught our church is what's called the first mention principle. In Bible school, they taught us that if you ever have a question on what God is saying through something, that simply look it up the first time He said it. And because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He doesn't change, how many of you know He doesn't change His mind about what He said? Another is looking for types in the Old Testament and numbers, and there's significance in numbers in the Bible. And I don't have time to go into all of that with you this morning, but you can, in your own time of study, just look through there and see what God has to say. And so 2015 is, I believe, and I'm praying for, and I believe that God is leading us to believe Him for what the number 15 in the Bible signifies. And that is the number of increase. How many of you could use some increase in your life this year?
Come on.
I'm not talking about, this is not a prosperity message. This is not the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. But God is the God of increase. Amen?
Yeah.
And so if you're going to look for anybody to help you to prosper, why not look to Him?
Right.
How many of you could use an increase in your relationships for them to go better? And so I believe for 2015, for a year of increase, I'll tell you what I'm believing as the pastor of this church. I'm believing that 2015 is the year of increase from people being transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. Seeing more people come to faith in Jesus Christ through what we do right here in this corner of our world. That's what I'm believing God for. The number 15 also signifies divine perfection. In other words, God does things with the number 5 and the number 3. The number 3 is always completion and perfection. And so I'm just believing that 2015 is going to be a great year for us, a great year for our families, a great year for the spiritual family. And in spite of all the challenges that we meet, we know one thing is that there is nobody greater than our God. Amen?
Amen.
Would you pray, Father, thank You so much for this year. We just thank You ahead, Father, for what You're going to do. We thank You for the way that You speak to us through Your Word. We always want to turn to Your Word. Be the people of the book is what we want to be in Jesus' name. And all God's people said... Amen. If you have a Bible with us, we're going to have a lot of scriptures today as we start this series, Prepare 2015. This series, Prepare, is actually going to be more teaching than it is preaching. And all my Bible students said, yeah. and so all of those of you who don't like to hear a talking head, stay with me. There's a lot of good things here that God has in store for us. There's a light shining on my iPad here. Let me move my table a little bit. We're going to take these next 4 weeks, and we're going to talk about what the Bible says on how we can prepare ourselves, because God doesn't change, to be transformed and to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm sure that you, like most people, have already thought about some of the things that you're going to change in 2015, as Pastor Rob was saying. The New Year's resolutions, right? How many of you have already made them? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have already broken them? Listen, I don't have any problems with New Year's resolutions. I'm just finding more and more there's better ways to meet those. Like the whole idea with losing weight, I think if you just buy bigger clothes, I think it goes a lot easier. So that's my resolution, is to buy bigger clothes. The word resolution actually means to be firm, determined, or unwavering. What a great way to start the year. To make a decision that we're going to be determined and unwavering in all that God has for us as a church, as families, and as individuals. For us to be resolved and say, this is what we're going to go after and we're not turning back. What if we just take the next 4 weeks and we're so resolute that in 2015, we're going to push forward to hear God more clearly, to hear God more frequently, to draw closer to God every day, to win over sin, and to be transformed and to be more like Jesus. Well, I got great news for you this morning. God is on your side for that. Amen? Let me give you a scripture to start off with, maybe something that you can hold on to at the beginning of 2015. It's from Isaiah 41:13. This is God speaking through His spokesperson, through His prophet Isaiah. He says, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." Amen. Amen. Isn't that good to know as you start 2015 that God is right there with you? And that He's going to hold up your right hand. In the Bible, the word right hand simply means that your strength. In other words, when you feel that you're running out of strength, when you feel like you just can't go one more step, God says, I'm going to be there with you and I'm going to uphold your right hand. I will give you the strength that you don't have to win and to be everything that I planned for you to be in 2015. But he goes on, and it's kind of like he puts an exclamation mark on it. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because God is there with you. And if God promises you something, He's going to see it to come to pass. Isn't that right? Because here's what we know about God, is that God always does what He says He's going to do. He always does. But you know what? In 2015, and as we start this series, I believe that it's up to us to activate our faith to do our part, so that God's help can produce God's best in our lives. So let me just give you three things I believe that you and I need to do in 2015 as we get ready to start this series. Three things that I believe you and I need to do in order to activate our faith for God to get the best and to give us the best as He gives us His strength and He comes alongside to help us. I think, first of all, we need to have the desire to be transformed like Jesus. That's where it starts. It starts with desire. It doesn't get anywhere else. It doesn't go anyplace else until you and I desire that we want to be transformed. We want to be more like Jesus. You know, in December, around the holidays, Sylvia and I, because you are such a generous church, we get a lot of goodies. People give us a lot of goodies. Okay. All right. You guys need to watch Nacho Libre again. And so yesterday, I was watching football, and all these goodies were on our counter there. And I said, honey, we need to get rid of these, because this is not going to be a good year for me. And Sylvia says, well, the problem is not that the goodies are on the table. The problem is that you want them every time you go by. I said, Lord, look at the woman you gave me. You see, desire is what causes you to take the next step. And in order for you and I to activate our faith, when God shows up to give us strength and to help us, first of all, we need to have this desire every day of our lives. Secondly, desire only goes so far, because the next thing that you and I need to have is discipline. We need to discipline ourselves to be everything that God has called us to be. You know, we plan and we pray and we put together. I mean, we've already got the teaching and the preaching scheduled all the way past Easter Sunday. But it's not until you and I discipline ourselves to put into practice what we desire that God does His best in our lives. And then you have to delight yourself. You activate your faith by delighting yourself in the Lord. Amen? So I just want to encourage you to do that as we start this year. This series is called Prepare. We're going to talk about different things that you and I need to do, you and I should do, at the beginning of the year to prepare ourselves for all that God has in store for us. Today I want to talk to you about preparing ourselves to hear God, preparing ourselves to get God. Let me just tell you, nothing happens if you don't pray. It just doesn't happen. Conversation with God, just like it is with people, is the one thing that connects us to Him. Let me give you this illustration. I like to play golf. Well, let me just say this. I play at golf. My family was so gracious to me. They gave me some pretty serious golf lessons for Christmas, and I can't wait to get started next week, actually, indoors, taking these golf lessons. And one of the things I learned over the years is the most important thing about playing golf is not how hard you swing or how far you take the club back. Everybody that's ever given me a lesson in golf has said the most important thing about golf is your grip. And they said the reason for that is because that is your contact. That's your first contact with the club. And they said if your grip is wrong, then the rest of it can never be right. How true is that about prayer? If our conversation with God is not active and daily, how can the rest of our lives be right? Even Jesus showed us and He taught us how important it was to pray. I mean, the disciples, of all the things that they could ask Jesus to teach them how to do, they said, when they saw Him pray, they said, "Hey, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray?" Now, if I was the disciples, I'd have said, "Hey, can you teach me that water walking thing? I want to see if I can kind of shock some people." Or how about that multiplying the tortillas? Anybody? I mean, manna, whatever, bread. I just want to just do that. But the disciples, they said, "Teach us to pray." Nothing happens unless we pray. But let's be honest. One of the most difficult things to do as a Christ follower is to discipline ourselves to pray. Amen? I mean, if you're in this room and you pray every day for an hour a day, I need to spend some time with you. Because it's challenging, right? It's challenging to spend quality time with God, because sometimes we get distracted. Anybody get distracted while you're praying? I mean, you're sitting down and you're like, okay, it's my moment. Shh, everybody be quiet. It's just me and Jesus. Lord, is the washer on? Okay, Lord, wait. Lord, I just thank you so much. Oh, man, I'm getting hungry. Oh, Lord, just wait. Squirrel! The discipline of prayer is not easy. But thank God that His Word teaches us how to be people of prayer. And so I want to teach you something today that I actually learned many, many years ago. Actually, it was in 1996. 1996 was a very challenging year for me. It was the year that I was being challenged the most with my heart condition. It was the year that my job situation was in limbo. I just did not know what was next. And every time I turned around, I felt like, physically, I felt like I was going to die. And so it was really challenging for me to pray, because as I was praying, I was thinking about what was going on with my body. Am I going to die? Where am I going to go from here? What do I do next? And then I started thinking about my job, and it was a very, very challenging season in my life. And it was in 1996 that I came across a teaching on prayer that has absolutely changed the way that I pray, and it helped me to pray and to be a person of prayer. It's a principle, a process of prayer called tabernacle prayer. I taught this in 1996 at Mid-Cities Community Church way back in the day. Rob and Christy were there, and they actually remember. How about that? Somebody that remembers your sermons from that long ago. They either got a good memory or I'm a really good preacher. Okay, you guys didn't say I was a good preacher. That's all right. I feel you. Well, tabernacle prayer is a process or a pathway that I've been using now for several years to connect with God. I'm going to ask the ushers to come by and to hand you out a little sheet that's going to help you as I go through this teaching on tabernacle prayer. Here's my prayer today. My prayer today is that I don't leave you dazed, glazed, and amazed. My prayer today is that you leave this room with a desire, a discipline, and a delight to pray and seek God every day of your life. That's where I'm headed today. So as they're handing that out to you, let me just give you a little bit of backstory of the tabernacle. The tabernacle, it was a meeting place with God's people in the Old Testament. Let me show you what it looked like. This is just a little model, the first picture of what the tabernacle looked like. So God's people, when they left Egypt, they came out and they were wandering around in the wilderness, and God gave Moses a pattern. Somebody say pattern. God gave Moses a pattern of, and when, listen, a pattern is always patterned after what? Come on, it's not a trick question. The original, right? And so when God gave Moses a pattern, Moses was limited as to the materials that he could use, because Moses was using earthly materials, but the original in heaven is made up of so much better material than you and I or Moses could ever use. But it was still a pattern. God gave Moses a pattern. He said, I want you to build this tabernacle, and this is where I'm going to meet with my people. This is where I'm going to come and habitate with them and speak to them, and they could come and speak to me. And so what they would do is they would basically, you can see here that it was made up really out of three tents, because you have the outside tent, you have the inner tent, and then inside there's another division there. But what they would do is everywhere they would go is they would pack this up, and then they would travel, and then when they were camping out, they'd set it up again. Talk about portable church. How many of you remember when we were a portable church? Yeah, these brothers really had it difficult. And so the tabernacle was God's meeting place with God's people. And so God gave this to Moses and to his people. And he said, this is where I want you to meet with me. Now, here's what you might be thinking. Okay, Pastor JR, I get that, but we are New Testament people. Now, I've taught family churches before that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So just because we're not wandering around in the wilderness, praise God, and having to put up chairs again, praise Jesus, it doesn't mean that the principles taught to us from this tabernacle don't apply to us today. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared, the first section in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place. Some translations call it the holy of holies. Having the golden altar of incense and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim, or angels of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these we cannot speak in detail. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties, but into the second only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. Now, here's what we're learning about this tabernacle. Let me show you in this next picture. The tabernacle basically was made up of three sections. There was the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And here we read in Hebrews that there was an approach. Somebody say approach. There was an approach to God. That's the first thing I want to teach you this morning about prayer, is that there is an approach to God. You know, a lot of times we treat God like He's just our friend, our buddy, and that we could just walk in and just say, sup, God, how you doing? Can I just tell you that you're speaking to the creator of everything? You're speaking to the one and only true God. And watch what the writer of Hebrews is teaching us, that where God resides, where you and I meet with God, is the Holy of Holies. Now, we no longer have this earthly temple. Paul teaches us that you, if Christ Jesus is your Savior, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the meeting place of God. And just like here, you are made up in three parts. There's the outer court. This is the flesh, your humanness, your hands, your feet. There is the holy place. That's your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion. And then there is the holy of holies, the place where God resides on the inside of you, and that is your spirit. When you're born again, God comes and He wakes up and He revives your spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives right there in your Holy Spirit. So you now are the tabernacle of God. So everywhere that you go, everywhere that you are, you and I can approach God and have a conversation with Him and hear what He has to say to us. Listen, as born-again believers, we have a right by the blood of Jesus Christ to enter into the most holy of holies. The Bible tells us that only the priests could do this, and they could only enter once a year. Praise God. The Bible says that when Jesus was crucified, that the veil was torn. The veil that separated the holy place from the holy of holies was torn from top to bottom. And it was torn from top to bottom so that you and I could now with confidence come in to the presence of God. That's what the writer teaches us in Hebrews 10, 19, 22. Look at it. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Pause. What is it that gives us the confidence to enter into the holy place and talk to God and hear God? Is it you? Is it what you've done? Is it what you haven't done? Is it who you are? Is it the position that you have in life? Absolutely not. It's only because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And watch what the writer says. We have confidence. Amen. Can I just tell you, one of the things the tabernacle prayer did for me is it increased my confidence every time that the enemy would try to remind me of my past, I would remind him of his future. I would remind him when he was, you can't go in there, you can't talk to God because you did this. I would remind him of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and how the blood of Jesus Christ makes me right before God. Nothing can give you confidence to pray like the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting to me, you know, that not very many churches speak of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's almost like we're trying to clean the gospel up. But can I just tell you, without the blood of Jesus Christ, without the blood of Jesus Christ, we cannot go in and talk to God. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no forgiveness of sin. Amen? So here what I see, these three sections. There's the outer court, there's the holy place, and the holy of holy place. I see a protocol to prayer. A protocol to prayer. But let me just tell you, everything starts with a key. Everything opens with a key. Let me just tell you, your first step in praying is how you go in to pray. Let me just show you what I'm talking about. In Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter His gates, enter with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Let me just tell you, the first step you and I need to take in prayer is we need to go in with a thankful heart. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. One of the first things I do, I mean, it is the very first thing I do when I start to pray, as I start to thank God. And every day that I pray, I always try to recollect something else that I can thank Him for. God, I thank You. I'm so grateful, God, for today. I woke up this morning and the first thing I did when I walked out of my bed, I tweaked my back about 2 weeks ago. And I stood up and there was basically no pain. I said, oh God, thank You so much that You got this tweak and it's gone and now I can stand up and I don't look like Festus walking around on the platform. Go Festus, Google that, you'll find it. You got to find something to thank God for. You say, well, Pastor JR, sometimes it's hard to be thankful. If you're breathing, you got something to be thankful for. If you stand up and you look and there's a house, there's a roof over your head, you got something to be thankful for. If you got up and you went into your kitchen and there was something in the cupboard to eat, you got something to be thankful for. Listen, nothing opens up the gates towards God's presence in prayer like being a people that are thankful. The psalmist says, this is how I start my conversation, my protocol to prayer, is I start with opening my mouth and praising my God with thanksgiving. Amen? Now let's look at this little handout that I gave you. And let me just show you this protocol to prayer based on the three sections of the tabernacle and the furnishings that are in there. If you look at your little handout, the first thing that the priest would come to, the people would come to, was something called the brazen altar. Now, this is the place, and you read in Scripture where it talks about the altar having the four horns on each side. This is the place that the priest would come, and what they would do is they would offer up a sacrifice, because they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies unless there was blood shed for them to go in there, for them and for the people. Let me tell you what this represents for you and I as we start our process, our protocol of prayer. This represents the cross of Jesus Christ. So when you begin to pray and you're taking your first step, the first thing you got to do is you got to thank God and say, God, I thank you for my salvation. I thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross and you paid a debt I couldn't pay. You came and you died a debt I should have died. You lived a life I should have lived, all for me. Can I just tell you, nothing will get you past into the Holy of Holies until Jesus Christ has become your Lord and Savior. And here's what the Tabernacle Prayer teaches us, is that when you come to the cross, you begin to thank God for everything that He's done for you through the cross of Jesus Christ. One of the things I love to do is I love to pray Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Let me show you. Let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He's done for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like eagle's wings. Can I just tell you, there is power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. You see, when you start your prayer and you begin and you start with thanksgiving, then you get to the brazen altar and you see the cross of Christ. You know, one of the things that I do, I mean, you can do it however you want to, but I, in my mind, I just kind of recollect the scenes from the Passion of the Christ. And I think about how the Bible says that my Savior, your Savior, was beat beyond recognition as best as they could in Hollywood to replicate what Jesus went through the cross, through on the cross. It pales in comparison to the reality of what happened. And then I begin to thank Him for the benefits. I begin to thank Him and I say, Jesus, thank you so much that I am healed because of the cross. I'm healed because you paid for my healing. I look at these five things here in Psalm 103, and I thank Him for my salvation. I thank Him for my healing. I thank Him that He's redeemed me from the curse. Amen? Aren't you glad that you're redeemed from the curse and you don't have to pay that debt? I thank Him for the new nature. I thank Him that He's made me brand new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I am a new creation. Jesus didn't take the old JR and try to put me together in spare parts. He's made me brand new. He's made you brand new. What does that mean? That means that you look at yourself as you're going into prayer and you're going, I thank God that I'm not the man that I used to be. I'm not the woman that I used to be. I thank God that I stand right here in the presence of God and I'm forgiven of my sin. I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm redeemed. I am a new creation through Christ Jesus. I thank Him for the provision. I thank Him that He's provided for me. That's what happens when I come to the brazen altar. The next piece of furnishing that we come to is the laver, or the bronze laver, as some translations talk about it or describe it. Let me just tell you a little bit about this. This laver was made out of bronze. And when the priest, after they did the sacrifice, they would come to the laver and they would wash their hands. You've read it in Scripture, all the ceremonial washings that they did. But let me just tell you something about this bronze laver. It was made out of bronze, and they wouldn't fill it all the way up to the top with the water. They'd only go halfway. The sole purpose of that was so that when the priest looked in, they could see the reflection of themselves. Let me just tell you what that means for you and I. It's once we realize that it's the cross of Christ that gets us into the presence of God, the next thing that you and I need to do is we need to repent of our sin. We need to spend time repenting of our sin, repenting of known sin first. Saying, God, I'm sorry. Father, forgive me for this Forgive me for that. Forgive me. Take time. And listen, if we ever say, I didn't sin, the Bible says that we are liars. Because all of us sin. And this is the moment as we're making our way to hear God. That because the only thing that separates us from hearing God is our sin. But here, the Bible teaches us, and through this protocol of prayer, that we can come and we can repent of our sin. What is that mirror for you and I? It's the Word of God. That's the brazen laver for you and I. Here's what James says, for if you listen to the Word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at yourself in a mirror. See yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. The Bible is our laver. It's where we come and we look at the Bible and we go, oh my goodness, I have missed God in so many places. And we repent. We ask God to forgive us of our known sins. We offer up our bodies up to God. We offer up our mind. And then, after we're good and clean, in other words, we not only repent of our known sin, but we pray and we ask God to forgive us of the sins that we don't know. God, if I missed something, Father, forgive me. How do we do that? Here's what I do, is I pray over my body. I say, God, Lord, if there were thoughts in my mind that dishonored you, Father, forgive me for that. Lord, I pray over my mind. I pray, Father, that my mind would be transformed and be conformed into your will, Father. Renew my mind with your word. I pray over my eyes. I say, God, as Job prayed, I pray, Father, I make a covenant with my eyes that I might not look at a woman lustfully. I pray over my ears. I say, God, I pray over my ears. I pray over my mouth. I pray over my heart. I pray over my feet. I say, Father, forgive me, Lord, if my feet took me anywhere I shouldn't have been. If my hands did things that dishonored you. That's when you're washing yourself. And once you take the next step, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But you got to get good and clean. How many of you back in the day, probably parents don't do this. I don't know. I hope not. But, back in the day, they parented us different. Can I get an amen? How many of you, when you took a bath, you'd come out and they would check behind your ears and everything? My mom had this habit. I mean, she just checked everything. Like, she'd pull our ears so hard, but like, wow, Mom, I mean, I can't even get a towel back there. Can I just tell you something? Sometimes we need to, the Bible says, confess our sins one to another so that we can be healed. That means that we need to sit down with a brother or sister and say, look, I think this is going on in my life, and I want to be healed, I want to be cleansed of this, and I need to confess this to you. And once you are good and clean, then you put on some clean clothes. You put on what Galatians calls the fruit of the Spirit. Then after you get clean, then you can put on peace, joy, love. It's really hard to walk into God's presence with peace and joy when you have unconfessed sin. You guys get anything from this? All right. The next piece of furnishing is called the candlestick. The candlestick is now inside the holy place. This is called the menorah. Some people call it the menorah. But the candlestick in Scripture always represents the Holy Spirit. So what do we do when we get to this place in this protocol of prayer? We talk to the Holy Spirit. Just talk to Him. Isaiah gives us what the Bible calls the seven spirits of God, or the seven spirits of the Lord. Isaiah 11:2. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So just begin to talk to the Holy Spirit and just say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. I need you to help me in my life. I need you to help me to give me wisdom. I need wisdom in these situations as I approach to hear God. I need wisdom. I need you to give me understanding. I need you to give me counsel. I need you to give me strength. I need you to give me knowledge. I need you to help me to understand, Holy Spirit, what the fear of the Lord is. Amen? And then pray over the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's several lists, but the one I like is from 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 10. Let's look at that up on the screen. It says, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, to another the same Spirit give a message of special knowledge, or the Spirit of great faith to another, and to another, someone else, the Spirit that gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern what a message is from the Spirit of God and from one another or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. You begin to speak to the Holy Spirit and pray and thank Him for the gifts that you know you have. Like, I know that God has called me to preach the Word of God. I know that. And so I thank God for the spirit of discernment. I thank God for the spirit of wisdom to understand the Word of God. And I thank Him for this gift. And here's what that does for me as I begin to pray, is I never see myself better than anybody else. I see myself just like you when I teach you the Word of God. The only thing that I see is that God has gifted me to teach the Word of God. And so as I approach God, I don't go in there and I go, God, you've got to give me something for those sinners because, man, they're in bad shape. I go in there and I say, God, I thank you, Lord, that you've called me, you've gifted me to preach this Word. Now, as I come to you, God, speak to me. Tell me what it is, Father, that you want for your people, Lord. Begin to thank God. I thank God I have the gift of prophecy. I thank God for that. You know, the Bible says that we should desire the gift of prophecy. And I thank Him for that. I thank Him. And I said, God, Lord, I just ask that you use me more with that gift. One of my greatest joys is the more that I pray for God to use me in the gift of prophecy is the more that He uses me in the gift of prophecy. One of my greatest joys is to go into stores and prophesy over people. Seriously, like I walk into a store like Smith's. One day I was walking in Smith's. I was just walking down the aisle and God spoke to me and said, say this to that guy. And so I stopped him and I said, hey, listen, God wants you to know it's going to be okay. She's going to come back. He just stared at me like I was crazy. Like, what happened? But I knew right then and there that it was God. You see, God would use you in your gifts if you thank Him for those gifts. Speak to Him about those gifts. And listen, it says to desire spiritual gifts. What does that mean for me and for you? Ask Him for gifts. Ask Him for it. Father, God, I just want a spirit of discernment in this situation. This thing is coming up, God, and I just need a gift of discernment. I need to know whether I should take this job or not take it. I need to know whether we should buy this house or not buy it. Father, would you give me the gift of discernment to discern what your will is for me? Don't you know that that will make your prayer go a lot more fruitful when God has given you these gifts? Amen? And then after that, we go, the next piece of furnishing is the table of showbread. Still in the holy place, the table of showbread, what they would do is they would come in there and they would put fresh bread on there, 12 loaves every day. The bread always represents the Word of God. Here's what I pray when I get to this part. I open the Word of God and I say, God, I thank you for this Word. I thank you, Father, that it is alive. I thank you, Father, that this is my meat. I thank you, Father God, that I will not live by anything other than your Word, Father. And I say, God, give me revelation, Lord. Give me revelation for your people. Give me revelation for my life. Give me revelation from your Word, for my family. Show me, Father God, what it is that you want me to do. Can I just tell you, way too many times God's people make a decision without going to God's Word. And this is what leads us, is our feelings and not the Word of God. Our emotions. Can I tell you, the Bible says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not my feelings, not my emotions, not my friends. But the Word of God. Amen. Sylvia, when we were raising our kids, if you're a guest with us today, my wife and I, January 22nd, will be married 38 years. And we have three adult children. And when we were raising our kids, Sylvia would always sit our kids down and she'd open up the Bible and she'd begin to read the Bible to them. Or she would make them write out scripture. And one day, Eric, our oldest, said, Mom, you always bring the Bible into this. I loved my wife's response. She said, I never bring the Bible into it because the Bible is already in it. See, the Word of God, how many of you want to raise great kids? Yeah. Listen, your best book on raising great kids is the Bible. Your best book on having a great marriage is the Bible. Look, I understand there's a lot of people out there, you know, Dr. Phil and everybody else, but nothing stands like the Word of God. When you get to the table of showbread, pray and ask God, Lord, give me fresh revelation from your Word. And God will give you fresh revelation for you right there and then. I was doing my devotional this past week, and I'm reading through the Bible in a year, so I would like for you to join me. You can go to YouVersion and just follow along and read the Bible in a year. And I was reading Genesis 2, and I was reading the account where God opened up the man, and he took the rib out, and he created a woman, and then he put it back. And I had prayed. I said, God, I want you to give me fresh revelation as I start the year again reading through your Word all the way through. And I was reading through Genesis, and God showed me something, and he showed me that there's no mention of pain. There's no mention of pain where God opened the man, took out a rib, and then closed it back up. There was no mention of pain. I mean, I get a sticker, and I'm talking about pain. Honey, I hurt myself. And here's what God showed me, is that when God is at the center of it, he always heals and takes care of the pain. When God is at the center of a marriage, when there is pain, he always brings healing. You see, that's what God does when you come to him and you say, Lord, give me fresh revelation from your Word. Amen? The next place is the altar of incense. This is the place where we come and we just worship God. Just worship God. My favorite thing to do is to worship in Spanish. I just love worshiping in Spanish. When I get to this place, I close everything off and everybody off, and I put in Marcos Witt or Jesus Romero, and I just start worshiping God, and I sing terrible. But God loves it because it's incense to him. It's worship to him. And some of you may not know this, but I actually play the guitar. I know 4 chords. I can play a really good country western song. But I'll get the guitar out and I just begin to worship God. Just worship God. Just right there, just stop and just begin to worship him. Just begin to open up your mouth and give him praise, and you know, put on a tape, or you know, turn on the music video, Christian video, something. But just spend time worshiping God on your own. I'm telling you something, family church. If the only time you worship God is on Sunday morning, you're missing out so much on worshiping God all by yourself. Just you and him. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Amen? And then you get to the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. Right there is where you begin to intercede and talk and hear God. The Bible says that right there in the Old Testament, God resided right there. On his presence was right there on the mercy seat. Where is that for me and you? It's right here. It's right here. You see, the outer court is our bodies. And as we're making our way through, we're praying and we're saying, God, I thank you that this body has been redeemed. I thank you that through the cross of Christ, I'm redeemed. I'm a new person. I thank you that my mind is new, my emotions are new. I thank you that my sins are forgiven. And I repent, Father, of all my sin. I repent of all these things, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you've forgiven me. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. I thank you for your Word. Now, God, speak to me. And God begins to speak. And God begins to minister to you. And then you begin to speak to God. And you begin to pray. And I've listed some things there, the things that you and I should pray for. We need to pray for our spiritual authority. We need to pray for our family, for our church. We need to pray for our city, our nation, the world. And then lastly, I pray for my needs. I save the things that I need for the end. I want to intercede. I want God to move. How many of you want God to move in our state this year? I was reading, just the other day, I was reading this article about how our state is on the bottom list of everything. The bottom list of finances, jobs, on the top of the list for crime. We're number 3 as far as murder in our city. Our city's murder rate is higher than the nation's rate, 2 times as high. You know what's going to change that? Is God. And it takes God's people going into God's presence and say, Father, I pray. I want you to notice 2 Corinthians 7:14. It's on your handout. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Our city needs the hand of God. Our state needs the hand of God. Our country needs the hand of God. And it takes God's people washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, going into the presence of God and interceding for our leaders. I pray for our leaders. I pray for our authorities. I pray for President Obama. He goes, oh my goodness, what? That's what the Bible tells me to do. It doesn't give any condition. It says pray for those who are in authority. I pray for the governor. And listen, I don't divide lines. Well, they're this and I'm that, so I'm not going to pray for them. I pray for all the people that are in authority over our nation. I pray for the elders of this church. I pray for the board of directors of our church. I pray for you. I pray for people that God has put into my life. And this is God's promise to me and to you, that if we come in through the blood of Christ, repent of our sin, He'll speak to us and He'll use us to make a difference. Amen. Did this help you today? Yes. Here's my prayer for you today, is that you will have, today, you'll have a desire to go into the presence of God. Secondly, that you will discipline yourself. This is not easy. It's work. It takes work. I mean, just remember, Jesus was praying on the night that He was betrayed. And He comes to the disciples, the ones that seen Him do all the miracles. And what were they doing? They were sleeping. And Jesus asked them a question. He says, could you not pray for 1 hour? This is hard work. Family church, I'll tell you, 2015 will be a great year if you will discipline yourself to be a person that prays. If you will wake up every morning and say the first thing that comes out of your mouth, thank you. Thank you. I mean, one of my favorite things to do is to roll over and look at my bride and say, God, thank you for Sylvia. I thank you for her laughter. I thank you for her joy. I thank you for how she, everything about her. I thank you for the things that are coming, God. I thank you for my grandson, Gideon. He'll be here March the 3rd, by the way. Not here, but on planet Earth. And I pray over his name, and I pray over, you know, just thank Him, God. Thank you for my kids, Lord. I thank you for Eric and Lori. And God, I thank you for John Michael. And Lord, I thank you, Father, so much for my sisters. Just thank Him. Just, God, thank you. Thank you for my church. Start with Thanksgiving. Because let me tell you what Thanksgiving will do. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your attitude. That's where the desire comes from, when you begin to think. Because sometimes you get up and you just really don't have a desire to pray. Let's be honest. But the moment that you get up and you start thanking Him, I thank you for my job. I thank you that you provide for me. Thank you for my kids. All of a sudden, there's a desire to discipline yourself, to go past Thanksgiving and go to the altar, and go to the laver, and then from there you go into the candlestick, and then you go to the table of bread, and then you get to right to His presence, and you go, oh my goodness, it's Jesus. He's here. Let me pray for you. The word resolution, your head's bowed and your eyes closed, it means to be determined and unwavering. I want to pray for you, that you would be resolute and be a person of prayer. Determined and unwavering. Now you have a protocol to prayer. It doesn't mean there's not another way to pray. This is a pattern in Scripture, given to us to come into God's presence. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're in this room and you say, Pastor J.R., I want to be, 2015, a person of prayer. Would you pray for me? Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Would you raise your hand? Amen. All over this room. Yeah. I'm raising my hand with you. I want to just be better. I want to do more. I want to be more consistent. I want to be more determined, more unwavering. Father, we raise our hands, God, and we just say, help us, Lord. We are resolute, God, as a body of believers to be people that pray. And we thank you that we even have a way to come into your presence, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can put your hands down with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you're in this room and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, in other words, you're just not sure if you were to leave planet Earth that you'd go spend forever with God. The Bible says you can be sure. The Bible says if you repent, that means if you turn from your sin and yourself and you turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness and surrender your life to Him, the Bible says you will be born again. If you've never done that and you want to do that this morning, I want to pray for you. In order to pray for you, I need to know who you are, but to respect your privacy, I'm asking everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. If that's you, I want to give my life to Jesus, Pastor Gerald. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word, and I thank you in advance for 2015. In Jesus' name, amen.